right. 9 o'clock on a Thursday. Thanks to Ben Maller for joining the show earlier. Thanks to all of you for listening. Continue to listen because we're going to give you some sick, twisted reasons to watch this game tonight.
Hey, another big trade in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, big trade in baseball. Paul Seaweed went to Detroit from Cleveland.
Okay.
Tigers acquiring right-hander pitcher Paul Seaweed from the Guardians. Mm. Somebody else had it first, according to Ken Rosenthal. So now that's the second player that Cleveland has traded in the last 5 minutes. Hey, JJ, go get Stephen Kwan. Blake Mitchell for Stephen Kwan right now, straight up.
Who says no to that?
Well, I'm sure there's some people in a basement that would say no to that. But I mean, prospects are suspects until they reach the big league level. And as they say, prospects are fun, but parades are better. And so go trade it. I don't know what Blake Mitchell's going to do at the big league level. You know, who knows if he's going to be anything at the big league level? You know, Stephen Kwan is a legit left fielder. One for one, straight up, make the trade. Let's go. Is Sandy Alomar still catching for Cleveland?
No. But you also still have Carter Jensen, so Blake Mitchell is expendable. Mm-hmm. Plus, you have Freddie Fermin and Salvador Perez. And
right.
I think a lot of people want to see Freddie Fermin kind of continue in a Royal uniform.
Heck yeah.
He's a fun guy.
One of my favorites.
Fun.
He's, yep. I think, what is he, like 33?
He's older than you think, I think.
Look him up real quick. I think he's like 33 or 34. I could be way wrong, but I don't know.
But 30.
30, okay, yeah way wrong.
I mean, still, though, older 30 than
for
I would
a catcher's
said.
Old. Yeah, no, it's up there. I mean, Salvi's the anomaly, you
for
know,
sure.
and all of that, right?
Yeah, they got to figure that position out then.
This comes from the 913, Bob Dusty Mac. If it's not too much trouble, can I get a shout out for my daughter, Kira? She is turning 11 years old today and loves all the fart jokes. And so do I. Thank you, Robert. So,
there you go. Happy birthday.
There you go. Woo! Kira, happy birthday.
Yeah, way to go, Kira. Happy birthday to you. I hope it's a wonderful day and your dad buys you everything you want within a reasonable price tag of $1,000.
And gets Stephen Kwan to the Royals.
Yeah. Stephen Kwan to the Royals is all she wants for her birthday. But you know what a good kind of flip would be? If you told me that we could have Jose Ramirez instead of Stephen Kwan, I'd consider that for Blake Mitchell.
So where does he play?
Jose Ramirez, third. Yeah,
and you move Mike Younger in the center field.
You could do that or
move
left field.
To left.
There's a lot of options that you could have right there.
Not mad about it.
Yeah. Jose Ramirez is one of my favorite players. And the more I think about Stephen Kwan in a Royals uniform, the more excited I get because he is that perfect fit for the Royals.
How baseball horny do you get if your lineup is Jonathan India, Bobby Witt Jr., Jose Ramirez, Vinny Pasquantino? You know, I mean, we'll see what happens.
I mean, could you imagine Jose Ramirez batting behind Bobby Witt, right? All of a sudden, Bobby's going to see a lot more pitches. You know, even though Vinny's been great since the beginning of May, really, Vinny's had a great season. The April was a disaster. He was focused on the wrong thing in April. Got his head on straight and figured it's got to be about baseball first and everything else. Second, he's taken off. He's been outstanding all year. But man, imagine having Jose Ramirez behind Bobby Witt. Good Lord.
Or imagine Jose Ramirez hitting in front of Bobby Witt and leading off. He's got speed. He steals.
Oh, he's got a hell of a lot of speed.
Yeah, so you let him lead off. You let Bobby Witt Jr. hit second. You let Vinny hit third. Garcia hit fourth. Sal hit fifth. And then when Cags comes back, he hits sixth. And then Cags just an afterthought, and they start slipping sliders and fastballs in his zone, and all of a sudden you see those home runs come around?
Maybe, yeah.
Who knows? But there is a Hall of Fame game tonight. You can be like me and Alex Gold, who our boss just called us sick and twisted.
Well, I think so, too. Betting preseason football is a little bit nuts.
You got to get back in the swing of it,
Bob.
You could
win some money tonight. Nobody knows what's going on.
So we do have a little bit of some juice on tonight's game. Mac, I know you'll join me. Because there
you're liking the juice.
Yeah. No, thank you. I'm not thirsty. Blank check. Great movie.
There's juice all over the place.
Ugh. But some bets tonight, these are coming from via DraftKings. The first team to score, the Los Angeles Chargers are plus 100. The Detroit Lions are minus 130.
Who won the coin toss?
I don't know. Hall of Famer Harvey Two-Face is going to do the coin toss at midfield. The favorite is obviously the Lions, but the Chargers +1.5 is minus 110. The money line for the Chargers to win is plus 114. So if you think Jim Harbaugh just hates to lose and you really think that Jimbo is going to get in there and get a win, no matter if it's preseason game 0 or -1, maybe put a little $5 bet. I mean, I'm not doing anything egregious. I'll bet two $5 bets on tonight's game. Detroit minus 1.5 is minus 110. Moneyline Detroit minus 135. I just don't understand how they get these odds.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Who's playing quarterback for the Lions tonight?
I don't know. I know it's not Jared Goff, and I know Justin Herbert's not playing for the Chargers.
Right. We know Trey Lance. That's all we know.
And then it's DJ, the guy who used to play at Clemson.
LeMahieu?
Iwuegalelei or whatever the heck that guy's name is.
I remember him. He
plays
really
quarterback?
Powerful.
Yeah, he'll be in the second half.
He'll be in the second half.
That's what Google says.
But who's starting then?
Oh, that is for
the Chargers.
Yeah. The Lions, I'm trying to figure that out. I mean, their second string's Teddy Bridgewater, if I remember correctly. I don't know if he'd play, though.
The over-under in tonight's game, that's where you really want to bet, because 10 of the last 14 Hall of Fame games have gone under.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight's over-under is 32.
That's a low number, yeah.
Well, nobody plays.
Right, yeah.
It's a bunch of guys that are trying to make a spot to avoid, because they used to do two cuts in football. Now it's just all one at the end of the summer.
It's a bunch of future and former bouncers that are playing tonight.
This is where you find your Carson Steals. Right. Yeah. This is where you find the guy that has an alligator as a pet, but also shows like some sort of like pizzazz. You're like, I like that guy. I promise you guys, tomorrow we will have a topic.
There will be a guy
involved around this game of either a name, a moment, a situation. Something will happen,
right,
and we will talk about
it. And that's what the NFL does. It's the gift that keeps on giving. There's always something that's going to happen, especially in these preseason games. You know, you are going to have dudes that are trying to make a name for themselves. I tend to think the biggest talking point tomorrow. Let's all bet right now what we think the biggest talking point tomorrow
is going to be,
right? Because I think the biggest talking point tomorrow is going to be Brent Musburger. I think he's going to be on the broadcast in the second half, is what they're saying, and he's going to say something.
You want to take a shot at his age?
He's 82, I think.
Yeah, it sounds right. I was going to say 87.
Yeah. He was 82 like 5 years ago.
Because Cody's out there pissed that we bring these old heads in to announce these games. Like, dude, it's the Hall of Fame game. Who cares? I'm like, it's not like he's doing Bills Chiefs at 325.
Musburger is still better than 90% of the lamos they're rolling out there. I mean,
whose girlfriend was he in love with? Was it AJ McCarron?
Yes.
He said, hey, look at her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Brent, chill, dude.
Gotta imagine if that was 2020 or 2021. What would have happened to Brent Musburger? He would have been canceled so fast. Yeah.
Hendon Hooker, by the way.
Hendon
Hooker.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Balls, baby. Go That's Balls. Right. So I'm pumped. I'm definitely rooting for the Lions.
He's in over 8.5 plays.
Does Jared Goff even make the trip to Canton?
Oh, he's there in a hoodie and shorts.
Yeah.
You think so?
I think so. Probably a headset on. Yeah.
Oh, the fake headset. Acting like he's learning on the sidelines. I've always loved those.
Did they just announce they have noise-canceling headphones?
They do this year.
You're going to need those tonight.
Yeah. You're going to try those out. Yeah.
Hey, these really worked in the Hall of Fame day. Come to Arrowhead.
And whoever, who is broadcast? Oh, it is NBC tonight, right? So it's Tirico and it's Chris Collinsworth. And so they'll make a big deal. They'll circle Jared Goff. Look at Jared Goff down here being a true teammate. He's wearing the headset. He's going to be over there in between series talking to Hendon Hooker. What?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not. Jared Goff wants to be there as much as anybody wants to be there. He ain't looking for the first plane out.
Okay, somebody's really messing with your emotions here, Bob. Would you trade for Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez for Blake Mitchell and Cags?
Yes, 100%. No question.
So you get Kwan and Ramirez for Blake Mitchell and
Cags? Two proven guys versus two unproven cryptos.
I'd have to look at their ages, but yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Jose Ramirez is an all-star third baseman. Stephen Kwan is a gold glove left field. Absolutely. I wouldn't hesitate. What has Cags done to say that he deserves to be here?
No chance.
Jose Ramirez, 32.
So it's baseball. You can play a little bit longer.
Kwan, 27. That's nice.
Prime time. Yeah. And he's got another year on his contract. I think Ramirez is tied up for a while. I mean, Cags has done nothing to impress me. I got to have him in my lineup.
I'd consider it, but I still believe in Cags.
Yeah, I'm not trading Cags. Somebody says you got to quit dreaming on Cags. Trade him now.
Absolutely. I think now's the time. I mean, it's hot. It's like a baseball card. Flip these things, man. Yeah. I've got a lot of these prospect cards from the 80s and 90s where we thought these guys were going to be good. Didn't amount to anything.
So are you out on Cags?
I'm not in on Cags or out on Cags. Okay. It's like whatever he does now, fine. I mean, I hope he does well, but if you have an opportunity to trade him for Stephen Kwan and Jose Ramirez, hell yeah.
Do you think his value is higher now than it was?
No.
Yeah.
No. If he was still in the minors now, he'd be the hottest talked about trade value candidate out there. Yeah. Bringing guys up sometimes exposes them.
The other two bets that this is where I'll put like my $2 $5 bets on is Lions 2+ rushing touchdowns is +300.
That's a fun bet.
I mean, all you need is one in the first half, and then you know some scrub's going to get in there and try to prove his point and get in the end zone, or rushing quarterback touchdown. And then LA, 2 passing touchdowns or more, is +370. That one's a little more tough because I don't know how much
Trey Lance is playing again.
Yeah. And I don't know how much you could put into somebody actually like throwing a touchdown that's never going to play in the NFL and actually, you know, getting that moment to see. But again, I love the Lions bet at 2+ rushing touchdowns for +300.
I kind of like that.
$5 on that. And then, you know, you put $5 on 2+ passing touchdowns for the Chargers and it's +370. You have a nice little $10 bet.
Parlay them, you know, and see if you
I would individually do
you would do it individually.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't you get more of a rush when it's a parlay, though? I know.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to win. And then when you do, it's like sticking it to the Vegas man. Yeah, you know, it's awesome.
Who's playing quarterback after Trey Lance? Gary Hogaboom? Is that who you said?
I think that's him, yep.
Never heard of him.
Somebody in the text line says, Cags is washed.
Harrington texted in today. No, I think people fall in love with prospects, man. You can't. This is the time of year where people try to covet these guys that you've never heard of before. No, trade them all. Get rid of them all. Get big leaguers that are proven back in return. Sometimes you're going to miss. It happens. Nobody's perfect. But I'd rather take my chances right now. I think the Royals ended up trading like 20-some guys in that 14-17 run. And one dude made it to the majors that was worth anything, and that's Sean Manaea. The Royals won a world championship and made another World Series because of it. You've got to be willing. Prospects are either going to help you at the big league level or they can help you win at the big level by trading them. I have no problem trading any prospects.
So you would have traded Bobby Witt Jr.?
Probably if the deal was right. Yeah, I would have absolutely. Yeah, that's the way I work though. I'm always looking to get better as an organization. You never know what somebody's going to be. Like I said, sometimes you swing and miss, but more often than not, I'd be right on it by trading these guys.
Coming up on the other side, we'll dive more into the football game a little bit later on, but Kurt Warner said something that makes me feel really good and Ryan Clark made something that made me feel really sad. We'll dive all into that. Plus Max guy, Marcus Morris is in some hot water.
Hot.
96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Bobby Witt Jr. and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Breaking news again.
Yep. Sources say the Yankees have traded shortstop Anthony Volpe to the Savannah Bananas in exchange for a 10-9 DH Dakota Stilts.
Perfect.
The Yankees finally have made their big trade deadline splash.
I do like that. That's good. Boy, I mean, Anthony Volpe's in a bad way right now, man.
Well, I mean, it just sucks, dude, because I was thinking about his story about being the next heir apparent, right? And you think about where's the toughest place to replace, right? Like, I pray for the guy who comes in and plays quarterback after Mahomes leaves.
I you know, if I were the Chiefs, honest to God, once Mahomes and Andy Reid retire, take a year off. Because whoever has to replace those guys, whether it's Nagy and, you know, Tyler Thigpen, whoever the case may be, it's going to be rough, right? It's going to be rough for whoever. You never want to be the guy replacing the guy, you know, like who replaced Tom Brady, right? The guy with the mom jeans didn't go so well. Who replaced Bill Belichick? One and done, right? You always want to be the guy replacing the guy. So, yeah, whoever replaces Patrick Mahomes, God love you, man. Everybody's going
to
hate you.
And Volpe's trying to replace the Derek Jeter because that's, you know, how we do things in sports. Like, this guy could be the next Jeter. And then he's not the next Jeter. And then you're in New York and you're really effed.
Right. But that's the problem with giving these guys these labels, you know, because how many live up to the next of anything? Why can't we just let guys be players and see who they are? Like, I do feel bad for Anthony Volpe right now. Grew up in the area. They gave him number 11 because that's the next lowest number that's not retired by the Yankees. They put him at shortstop. They've called him the next Derek Jeter. Yeah. And he's below mid, below not good right now. And, man, that guy, you talk about expectations. I don't think anybody in sports has higher expectations than that guy does playing shortstop for the Yankees.
6 years ago today. Wait,
so they traded into the Bananas?
Yeah, it's a troll tweet from BetMGM. Oh. But 6 years ago today, if you remember this moment, Mac, I don't know if you watched this, but do you remember a guy by the name of Amir Garrett?
Yeah.
I think so.
So he took on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates roster.
Oh, that's right. He played here. He was a Royal for a hot minute.
Yes, he was.
Yeah. And
yes,
he played basketball at KU.
He's a stud. He threw it like 100 miles an hour.
We couldn't find the strike zone.
Yeah, but he could take on an entire team. Mac, I'll send it to you via DM on X.
When was that, 6 years ago?
6 years ago.
God, it's been that long. That was pre-COVID. That was a pre-COVID Amir Garrett fight.
I mean, Yasiel Puig is still on the roster for the Reds. But yeah, Amir Garrett, I remember that moment. That was awesome.
I remember we got him here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we'll keep you updated on the trade deadline as it continues to go through. Of course, the big news today is still coming. because it sounds like the Cleveland Guardians are dumping. Sounds like the St. Louis Cardinals could be dumping. And so there are things that are going to happen throughout the day. There's what you said, two baseball games today,
three baseball games. There's a noon game, and then there's there's a 7 o'clock, and then there's a West Coast game today. Mm-hmm. So not a lot of baseball, which tells me they want today to be all about the trade deadline. And it is a Thursday in the Hall of Fame game. I understand all that. But this tells me, like, to have only three games on the schedule, this tells me they want today to be a big day in Major League Baseball, as they should. These are the days where people, like, really embrace sports, right? Everybody loves trade deadline. You may not watch every game, but, man, you got an opinion on everybody that's being traded. Even that Paul Sewald guy who we never heard of before, like, you've got to take on that, right? The Bieber trade, you've got to take on that. Guys, gals, we all love the trading and the gossip that's taking place today. So I think Major League Baseball kind of sort of did that on purpose, where they didn't want the games to necessarily take away from the drama that could be happening.
From the text line, so the Royals are hoping Adam Frazier and Grichuk can help make the playoff run this year. Those are the big moves made by JJ. Such a disappointment, but like they say, every year the Royals, there's next year, and after that, the deadline's not over, man.
Yeah, we got a long ways to go. We got 8 hours.
Yeah, dude. So relax.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not over yet. What do you mean?
Come on, man.
You made the point, Bob. These guys, they work out, they get their coffee, they get their breakfast, and then
I was talking to somebody in baseball yesterday. I go, give me something. What's going on? I need something before 10 o'clock. Like, most of baseball is just waking up and getting a workout in right now. I mean, they're there until 2 in the morning or whatever it is, right? Eating pizza and, you know, doing whatever they got to do. And then they got to get up and, you know, flush it out, burn off. And then they get the day going.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. 9 o'clock in the morning.
And you're just already. You want it to be a defeat. Well, you want it to be a bad day.
What a take, bro. Seriously, that is an unbelievable take by you. Take the rest of the day off. I'm serious. Because that's what it is. You nailed it.
Exactly.
You want them to fail. You want them to not make trades. That way you can walk around and go, see, I told you so.
Don't even do anything.
I want to do sports.
I told you so. Typical Royals, no good. You get an endorphin high off of being upset about the Royals.
Sherman, Piccolo. No.
Yeah, you're just Randy Quaid in the World Series, Major League.
Yeah.
They're going to suck. Told you. And then when they win, it's like, I knew they could do it. Get out of my house.
Yeah, get out of here.
Don't forget, join 96.5 The Fan live at Hollywood Casino Friday, August 8th, a week from tomorrow. Cody and Gold plus The Drive will be broadcasting live from the sportsbook inside Hollywood Casino. Will be registering fans to win a signed Charles Mignon football plus a pair of tickets to see the Chiefs and Colts in Arrowhead. Be sure to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X and enter their giveaway on August 7th for a chance to win $100 pen cash on August 8th every hour from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Kurt Warner, nice guy, right?
Great guy.
You like him?
I love him.
He likes Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I'm one of those guys that I'm never going to, you know, say anybody besides the Chiefs until the Chiefs show me that they can't figure out ways to win. I mean, they've done it so many different ways, which is, I think, been the most impressive thing to me, is that sometimes they've done it with offense, sometimes they've done it with defense. Patrick knows how to make the right play in the moment. And, you know, we saw that in the championship game, you know, when Buffalo had the chance to make their plays in the moment, and they didn't. And Patrick and company made their plays in the moment. And so when you've got a team like that, and they're going up against other really good teams, Buffalo and Baltimore and those teams that we know are going to be there. What separates the Chiefs is that they do. They have the pedigree to say they made the play in the moment. Whoever's needed to make that play, a block kick here or a defensive stop there or Patrick making a great play or somebody that we don't really expect stepping up and making a play offensively to finish a game for them. There's just something about that organization that says they do that differently than those other teams have. Those other teams haven't played their best in the biggest moments. And so right now, I'm still going to say the Chiefs, although I think we all expect at some point Baltimore, Buffalo are going to have to break through with those great quarterbacks that they have. I'm just not ready to say definitively it's going to be this year, because I think the Chiefs are still there and have to be taken down.
So not necessarily a bold take by Mr. Warner, but an honest take. And sometimes you don't have to be the guy that splashes the pan and says, you know, 4,500 yards this year for JJ McCarthy. That's a bold take. That'd be like, wow, dude. Okay. Sweet. He'd be like, all right. But instead,
in 17 like, games, I'm doing the math. That's not bad.
Kevin O'Connell on the sidelines. Yeah, it's maybe. Possible.
But where you can have a good take is that I'm not ready to say that this is where somebody knocks the Chiefs off the pedestal, but I do think that there are sharks in the water. Cincinnati is always going to be there as long as they've got Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. And I don't care they don't have a defense. The Cincinnati is in the water. Buffalo's in that water. Baltimore's in that water. And then you look at your own division. It's a little bit more choppy this time going around, right? Denver's coming back year two. Great defense. And Bo Nix has been in the league. You come back with a new Raiders revamped offense and new coach, new quarterback, tight end is one of the best in the league. And they drafted Ashton Jeanty. The Chargers, they're always going to be there as well. So to say that you don't want to see or that you don't think that anybody has really yet shown me that they can knock them off is true. Last year, the Chiefs went 15-2, and they probably had their worst year ever. And they didn't even go 11-6. And that was their worst record year under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, 11-6. And they won the Super Bowl. Last year, they went 15-2, went to the Super Bowl and lost it, got their asses kicked by the Eagles. We all know that happened. And now we come back this year, and it's like, well, I don't know. Whereas Kurt Warner's like, yeah, we don't know. We don't know if anybody's ready yet to take this team away. And when they do, we'll give them their roses. We will appreciate that team. But until that happens, until you can prove to me that you can beat the Chiefs when it matters, I'm not taking any other team over it. And that's Kurt Warner, who has no affiliate here. None. Mm-hmm. No bias whatsoever. And he's giving you a logical take. It doesn't really strike the pan with hot grease and get you going like, whoa. But it's also one of those things where it's like, you know, honestly, yeah, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincinnati, they're good. But who's done it yet? Nobody.
If he screamed that for 30 seconds on ESPN, would that take off as a take that everybody would notice? Probably.
Literally,
so.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think that's so. You got to scream, and Kurt Warner's not a screamer. He's just a winner, and he said that to me, figure out ways to win in that conversation, and that's the most important thing to take away. No team figures out ways to win more than the Chiefs do, and then Patrick Mahomes does. The proof is out there. We'll go back to the Charger game last year. Rashee Rice gets, you know, kind of blown up, obviously, by friendly fire. They got to figure out that game and the rest of the year without their star wide receiver. They went 15-2 and had a 9-game winning streak over the course of that time. They figure it out. The Chiefs know how to figure out things. I think that also, too, by Kurt Warner, really is must listen to, because sports coverage in this country is bottom of the barrel. It's a shallow pool right now. I don't know what's worse. The amount of terrible people with sports opinions on national outlets or coaching in the NFL, because there's a lot of bad sports takes that are on the national level out there. And most of them do circle around the Chiefs and the ignorant takes that people have on the Chiefs. That was a great conversation by Kurt Warner for people to listen to and expand their minds a little bit and to figure out why this team is always on top and why Kurt Warner picks them to be on top. It's not a hot take. It's a, nobody's beaten them yet. Nobody's really proven that they can knock them down. And I'm not going to be the first guy at that party, okay? Everybody wants to be the first guy at the party. I was the first one who said this, or I was the first one who said that. People care more about their own egos and being right than looking at logic and going out there and really seeing what's going on. I understand, and this hit me like a blindside during the playoffs this year. People don't watch football games anymore. I thought it was just a baseball thing or maybe a basketball thing where we watched a highlight. I really did think everybody sat down and watched football games from start to finish. And then I've realized with Red Zone, no, they don't. They're not sitting down and watching full games. Then when they have to watch full games, I think a lot of these people who comment on football don't have an understanding on how the game really works because they're not actually watching games. They're marveling at Scott Hansen. And that's great. And that's fine if you know how football works and if you understand the game. I guarantee you most of the people that are pontificating about the Chiefs do not sit down and watch an entire NFL game from start to finish unless it's the Monday night game because it's a standalone game, or the Sunday night game because it's a standalone game. They just watch highlights. They just watch clips, and they don't have a full working understanding of how this thing actually operates and how this thing goes and what it takes to win football games because they're just watching a clip show for 8 hours a day thinking that they're watching the NFL, and they're not. They're not understanding the game. And until you watch Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid play, you don't understand what the Kansas City Chiefs are all about.
Yeah, they're watching for highlights. They're watching for oohs and ahs.
Right.
And Mahomes maybe hasn't given them the oohs and ahs these past 2 years, but he's won.
Yes.
And when it matters, he gets the ball where it needs to be across that first down line or across that end zone line, and he scores more points than the other team. And people just seem to not be entertained by that, but frankly, they shouldn't. I don't really care. Kurt Warner understands that it's not just about, hey, you know, it does seem like it is the next person's turn, right? But that's not how it works. You
right.
have to go take it. And the Chiefs aren't ready to be taken yet. that they got better than they were last year. And Kurt Warner knows that. I think the first thing I thought of was our boss Spector last year in the playoffs when it was like, well, it's just Josh Allen's time. That doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. If Mahomes says it's not, then it's not. Right. If this team says it's not, if this team is better than them and they're going to win in the last 5 minutes of a game and make better decisions and capitalize on mistakes and be more disciplined, then it's not their turn. Sorry, no, it's not the way sports work.
It's not the way life works either.
It wouldn't have been anyone's turn in the NBA if it weren't for Michael Jordan. You know what I mean?
Right. But that's not the way life works. And I think we're in a rut right now in this world where we think, well, it's just my turn and I'm going to get this because it's my turn. No, that's not the way it works. There was an old commercial back in the 80s about that. It was called like Smith Barney was the bank, I think. And they said they made money the old fashioned way. They earned it. Right. And God forbid you tell somebody to earn something today and they look at you like you got 17 heads. Things should be given to me. I should just be gifted this. It's my turn. No, you got to go out there and you've got to earn it. You've got to go out there and take the titles away from the Kansas City Chiefs. They're not going to lay down. They're not done winning. They're in the middle of winning right now. Yep. If you want to stop the winning, go out there and beat them. And now the biggest, lowest hanging fruit that's out there, no left tackle, that's kind of resolved itself right now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of resolved itself.
Sorry.
So there's not a lot that people can pick on. But I would say for guys who have these hot takes about the Chiefs, the Adam Shines the other day, the Ryan Clarks we'll hear coming up in a minute, anybody screaming on a national network about this franchise, watch a game. And get an understanding of actually how this thing operates.
Hey, guys, been a while.
Did you consider Brett from Miller?
Did Will Chamberlain or Danny Manning, have they reached out to Wiggins?
You think I'm a damn fool?
And also just wanted to double check that Dan Kilgore is going to practice today.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us.
Literally what he says is the Chiefs team is better than the others. That doesn't mean the quarterback is better. Kurt Warner said the Chiefs team finds a way to make plays to win. Baltimore and Buffalo don't. That doesn't mean Mahomes is better than Josh. That means his team and coaching is better. I watch the All-22 every game the entire year. Josh is better.
The All-22, as soon as you said that, I'm out. Your opinion doesn't matter. I watch the All-22.
I responded with, oh, nice, you watch the All-22. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Really? Kegs and eggs in football. Let's go.
That's good. Well, then maybe you'll agree with this from Ryan Clark as we appreciate you listening. We really do. Thank you. Part of the reason why we're number one. But this was Ryan Clark on Joe Burrow being the best quarterback in the world.
Let's just think about the seasons Joe Burrow has actually finished. In two of those seasons, you go to the AFC Championships. In one of those seasons, you advance. And then you look at last year, and he's the best quarterback in the world, and it's not a conversation. I was talking this offseason to a lot of defensive coaches, and I was talking to a defensive coach, and he talked to me about Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Patrick Mahomes. And he says to me, he was like, bro, he's like, those dudes just know how to make something out of nothing. But the reason he thought Joe Burrow was the best was, he said, but Joe Burrow never misses the something. Mm-hmm. There's something to be said for a dude that knows how to put the football where it's supposed to go.
So can I just be clear? Like, I don't know why people think that I think Mahomes is the only good quarterback in football. I think that Joe Burrow and Josh Allen are very good.
Lamar, too.
And Lamar Jackson is very good.
Jalen Hurts into my category.
And
you will add Gary Hogaboom into yours or whoever's playing tonight.
As we try to keep this, logical, I don't think Burrow and Mahomes and Allen are, I didn't mean to put Mahomes, I don't think Burrow and Allen are like these scums of the earth. Like, I think the top three quarterbacks in the league are Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen, or Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, however you want to put that in there. But I think that what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes throughout his career, we've gotten, 8 years as a starter?
Yeah.
And we've had 2 years where his numbers haven't been gaudy, where it's like 4,500 and 40 touchdowns or 38 touchdowns and 4,200 yards. 2 years. And in those 2 years where you're going to tell me that Burrow and all these guys are so much better and so great, but in the 2 years that Mahomes' numbers haven't been great, his offensive line has been ass and his wide receiver has been who? Right? I'm sorry. And I know that Josh Allen didn't have the receivers last year. He didn't put up gigantic numbers. Burrow did. Burrow didn't win.
And I hate to tell you this, being honest here, Mahomes ain't going to have his full complement of wide receivers for the entire season either. We're looking at that suspension for Rashee Rice, right? So there is going to be, probably not until October, assuming everybody stays healthy at the wide receiver position, where he's going to have his full complement of wide receivers. And it's about time Patrick Mahomes gets the opportunity to play with that full complement of wide receivers. I have some more stuff on Patrick Mahomes tomorrow that I've gotten that we can get to in topic-wise about where he is kind of in a spot right now, which will be good to have a conversation about. But Ryan Clark, who I loved Ryan Clark when he first came on the scene, I don't really care what he has to say anymore. He has deteriorated as a broadcaster and as an opinion giver in my mind over the last couple of years. He did say that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback on planet Earth. Joe Burrow's team was 9-8 and in third place last year. Mahomes has never finished in second place, let alone third place. Patrick Mahomes has never finished below first place.
And the other thing, too, is when you say, like, well, Burrow didn't have a defense last year. How was Mahomes' defense when he went to the AFC Championship game and lost to Tom Brady?
Not good. They were giving up 50 a game.
AFC Championship.
But you know what he
game.
Did? You know what he did? Kurt Warner said it. They figured out ways to win. Mahomes went, I know you guys are going to give up 40 a game. I've got to score 41. And they figured it out that year.
And that's what I hate is when you start to, like, pivot the conversation. So if we have a conversation about how this guy is good, but he has Andy Reid. That's not the conversation. No. Andy Reid's not throwing the ball. No. Andy Reid's not reading the defense from Mahomes' standpoint. Joe Burrow has Zach Taylor. I'm sorry. That's not the conversation. The conversation is pure talent and winning and championships. Those guys don't have what he has. And again, I'm not saying that Burrow and Allen are like, ugh, don't even mention those guys to me. They're not – they are. They're in that level. They're in that class. There is a class of five guys. There is a definite class of four guys.
Four, yeah.
And those four are Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, and Jackson. And I think that if you were to literally sit down with all three other guys and say, do you feel like that's okay to put you in that room but not put you above him? They'd be like, I haven't known what Patrick's done. I totally agree with that. Right. I guarantee you that. Is Burrow talented? Immensely talented. Is Lamar Jackson great? Two-time MVP winner. Great. But where you are judged in this sport is by winning and by winning when it matters.
Yeah.
And those guys don't do it.
They
so
don't.
If you're having a conversation about the individual themselves, yes, Mahomes is better than them. And that's the end of it. That's where it stops.
And so that's why, you know, back to the Phillip Rivers conversation, it's going to be very interesting to see how they vote for him to go into the Hall of Fame. Because for the last 20 years, all we talk about with quarterbacks is winning Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls, winning Super Bowls. Phillip Rivers didn't do that. Put up great numbers. Got a Hall of Fame resume, minus the Super Bowl. We'll see if they decide to put him into the Hall of Fame. But I don't think any quarterback today, Dusty, to kind of piggyback on your point, would say they're better than Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's been able to prove it yet that they're better than Patrick Mahomes. When it matters most, these guys fail. Patrick Mahomes finds ways to win. Again, figure out ways to win. That's the theme of Patrick Mahomes' career here in Kansas City, and that's ultimately what separates him. He's just got better guts than you, and he knows how to get it done. 13 seconds left. The man figured out a way to win.
We also have created a new NFL insider from our All-22 guy. Patrick Mahomes has 3 Pro Bowl / All-Pro linemen. I didn't know that. On his team, and Taylor is fine at right tackle. The one player on the line that's bad was left tackle. I'm sorry. So we'll time out here, All-22. What's the second most important position in football?
Well, it's the left tackle.
Okay.
And then it has a trickle-down effect.
And and then they run RPO 30% of the time. So the line is run blocking. The ball has to come out faster or it's going to look like the line is bad. But you don't know that if you don't watch the tape.
You're right, I don't, because I got a life, pal. I hate to be that guy.
No. I just need you to email me at DustyLikens@gmail.com. If you want to be our NFL insider, feel free to come in and talk about the All-22. We'll get your advice and we'll see how well you do.
And then when we wake up from boredom, we'll send you on your way.
But I don't know that because I don't watch the All-22.
No, I'm not going to sit here and say I do watch the All-22. I don't watch the All-22. I don't have time for that in my day, nor do I care about the All-22 because you know what? The 95% of our audience ain't watching the All-22. And if we started having conversations based off what we saw in the All-22, we'd be on the AM.
I'm trying to figure out who were all 3 guys all pro last year, Creed, Trey, and Tooney.
No, I don't think they were all pro last
all
year.
All pro. No. Trey's never made an all pro.
He's
a pro bowler.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It says,
but when your left tackle doesn't work, it has a trickle down effect. I used the Derek Johnson analogy last week, Mac, when we were talking about it. And Derek always said one thing that really stood out to me that he said over the years is like, we've got to do our jobs. The minute we start worrying about the guy next to us not getting the job done and we try to compensate for that, we're not doing our job. And now it's 2 guys that aren't doing their jobs and 2 guys that are out of position. that absolutely has a trickle-down effect on the offensive line. If that guy at that left tackle spot isn't getting the job done, it's human nature to try to overcompensate for that. And then when you do, it affects everything that you want to do because you can't focus on your job. That's why the Belichick, do your job, is some of the greatest advice that you can give anybody anywhere. Do your job. And if you do your job, then everything will work out. It's the minute you start trying to do somebody else's job that things get out of whack.
A little bit of baseball news. John Heyman reports Mets are still talking about Lewis Robert and Cedric Mullins as possible center fielders. White Sox best offer. Best other options appear to be the Phillies and the Padres.
Yep.
And then Bob's best friend just texted in from the 6-2. What the F is the all 22?
Yeah, let's go have a cup of coffee, my man.
We'll wrap this show up on the other side, and we'll let you know what all Kelce Day is coming up a week from today here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
It's the time of the season for loving. What's your name? Who's your daddy? Fesco and Dusty are number one. And Mac is cool, but Chow, I'm sorry, but they must be stopped. They must be stopped. Fesco and Dusty are number one. And Mac is cool, but Chow, I'm sorry, but they must be stopped.
He's singing in there.
He loves
it,
man.
They must be stopped.
Somebody says, I thought Mac had a juicy Marcus Morris story.
Oh, yeah. Where's the Marcus Morris story? Who's in more trouble, Marcus Morris or Gilbert Arenas?
Oh, jeez.
It's both.
Yeah, seriously. Marcus Morris allegedly stealing from casinos.
And writing, a lot of money.
And writing bouncing checks.
$265,000 is what's been alleged by him from stealing from casinos. Gilbert Arenas allegedly has a high-stakes poker game going on, you know, a la Molly Bloom. If you've ever seen Molly's game, watch that. It'll give you an idea of what allegedly Gilbert Arenas had going on out there in LA too. So a lot of good stuff going on in the NBA offseason.
Yeah, it's not good for Mr. Marcus Morris as he is in court, I think, currently.
He's in court today.
I mean, yeah.
Wow.
Well, he was in there not yesterday, maybe the day before. He's just sitting there, he just disheveled, you know, in handcuffs, just going through these
allegations. His mugshot was not good.
Nah, not normally they aren't. I mean, I don't
a lot of times some people smile and all this kind of stuff. You want some Taylor Swift conspiracy?
No.
Mac, you want some Taylor Swift conspiracy? Okay.
You know what I want. I want to do sports.
Yeah, well, this is better. So now Taylor Swift fans think she was secretly in Happy Gilmore too. They think she was in the bear suit that went and attacked Travis Kelce.
That is a great conspiracy.
Right? They think Taylor Swift is in the bear suit. The scene in question, and this comes from the New York Post, the scene in question happens when Bad Bunny's character Oscar, a busboy, imagines his happy place, wherein his abusive boss, played by Kelce, is tied to the pole and covered with honey while wearing nothing but an apron. Ooh. Kelce's character sees a bear coming towards him, ready to attack. The Post has reached out to Taylor Swift's reps for comments.
I hope that's true.
God, if that ends up being Taylor Swift. Like, if it is true, they shouldn't tell anybody.
I agree.
I would never, ever, ever let that out.
It's almost better unknown.
Yeah.
As kind of a talking point.
Because you know what they're going to say. This is not Taylor in the bear suit. Mm-hmm. We appreciate everybody getting excited about this kind of stuff.
They also stole that scene from Heavyweights. Because whenever Lars is against him, they put him in the woods. They rip his shirt off and they put honey in. Like, bears love honey. And then he screams and it's like a little doe that comes out. And he's like, are you with us or against us? I'm with you. So the other day we talked about teams that intrigue us in the NFL. Are you wanting Pittsburgh to succeed?
Yes.
because you like Tomlin that much that you can get over your hatred for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, it's funny you say, because I do those mental gymnastics almost every day when I see Pat McAfee on at the J, because he's always seemingly at Pittsburgh. I mean, they're always talking about the Steelers and whatnot, because obviously Rodgers is his guy and all. But yeah, I like Mike Tomlin that much, and I want to see him continue this run of never having a losing season. I want to see them make the postseason this year, and I want to see Mike Tomlin get a little postseason success, not to the behest of the Chiefs or anything like that, but like I think it's time for Mike Tomlin to get a fair shake. And I think Aaron Rodgers, obviously, it's the best quarterback he's had since Ben Roethlisberger was back there playing quarterback. And so now he gets, you know, he gets a proven Hall of Fame quarterback. We'll see what he can do. Big trade.
Astros are talking on Alcantara and Cease and still looking for another bat. Dude. That's huge. Dylan Cease and Alcantara is who they're looking at.
So teams do now.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. I don't remember what we were talking about.
You're talking about Aaron Rodgers? You can get over your
Rodgers. Yeah. I just all of a sudden think about the Astros getting better. But immediately I'm thinking about this is why this minor league system, man, needs to be worked on. Because all these other teams have this crypto that they can deal. The Royals crypto is not valued at much. They've got to get that cryptocurrency built up in the minor leagues to be able to make these type of moves. Mm-hmm. You have to have the collateral to be able to go out and get these type of players. But anyway, so Aaron Rodgers, like I'm that big a fan of Mike Tomlin. I love that guy so much, and I want to see him have that success. So yeah, I think it can be fun to watch that dynamic. They seem to be in love with each other, right? Like that dynamic seems to be really good.
Opposites attract sometimes. I don't know.
Or maybe Aaron Rodgers, quite honestly, you know, needs to have the adult in the room, right? When was he at his best? Obviously with Mike McCarthy, they won a Super Bowl together, right? And then that relationship ultimately went south, and he was okay with Matt LaFleur, but Matt LaFleur wasn't the adult in the room. Aaron Rodgers could bully him. Mm-hmm. And then he got to New York and that was a mess. He could bully his way around that situation. He's got somebody checking him now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. When you have that type of player, you still need to be checked. And Mike Tomlin's going to check Aaron Rodgers. When he starts licking toads and passing out ayahuasca and telling people to go in the mountains of Pittsburgh and sleep for the night and stuff like that, like Tomlin's going to get involved and be like, we're not doing that here. And I think Mike Tomlin is one of the few coaches in the NFL, and this is the way I view it, and this is my opinion, that Aaron Rodgers actually respects, looks at him as on the same level or above him. I think for the most part of Aaron Rodgers' career, he was on the mountaintop. He looked down at everybody, thought less of people. You know, that's, again, my perception of who Aaron Rodgers is. I think he looks at Mike Tomlin and he realizes Mike Tomlin's a legit head coach. He's on the same level, if not higher than me. I need to respect that guy. And I think it's a good situation for Aaron Rodgers that there's somebody finally in there that's willing to check him and say, Aaron, we're not doing this.
Yeah, that division will be fun for sure. I don't know much about Cleveland, what they're going to do, because it's Flacco and the rest. Mm-hmm. But then you've got, obviously, Cincinnati, Baltimore in that division as well with Pittsburgh. Man, look, I hope that my conspiracy is that we finally get Aaron Rodgers versus Mahomes. And I know they won't play each other in the regular season, so the only way that's possible is they do make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so I'm rooting for the Pittsburgh Steelers to be good so that we can maybe get that matchup. And maybe it's in Arrowhead and it's the divisional round game. And here comes Aaron Rodgers and here comes Mike Tomlin. And then here's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. We've never seen Mahomes versus Rodgers. We've always been stolen from it, whether it's COVID, whether it's injury, whatever it may be. And how great would that be?
Yep.
Right? Because that's the one guy we haven't seen Mahomes square off against yet.
Yeah.
And that's Rodgers. And Pittsburgh's got their legacy. Chiefs have obviously got their current dynasty. You put those two things together, and we're all at Maloney's. Like, we're all at the edge of our seat, ready to watch this game go down, because we haven't seen that, and we don't know what that could be like. And it would be one of those things where I don't want to say it's like a torch-passing moment, but it'd be one of those moments where it's like, all right, finally we got it, and one of the bigger stages that we could have actually had it, and here we are, and see if Mahomes can handle his own against Aaron Rodgers.
Torch-passing moment for Mahomes to Aaron Rodgers, not Rodgers to Mahomes. It would have been that way had it been about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
We got that early matchup, but now if you're passing the torch, it's like Mahomes is passing it off to Aaron Rodgers, because he surpassed Aaron Rodgers. I don't think anybody will debate you know, on that one with everything that he's been able to accomplish. But I would love to see that playoff game. You think the TV networks would go crazy trying to get that game on, right?
Stop
that would be a standalone
game.
Somebody's going to create a network just to stream it and offer $50 million to the NFL just to have the Steelers and Chiefs in that playoff game. That would be a hell of a game to have.
Right. Somebody says, I debunk your Taylor Swift theory that she's in the bear suit. Says okay. There's no doubt it's definitely his ex, Kayla Nicole. Take the day. Take the day, 1-6.
Kayla Nicole. I mean, good Lord. Every day there's something about her.
Well, she's just down bad. She misses the guy.
I guess.
Why would you not? I mean, the guy's a stud.
It's been a few years now, though.
Yeah, I mean, you got to move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard. It's tough to get over an ex-lover. We've all been in those situations, I'm sure. But, I mean, eventually you just got to move on.
Right. Will you be on your phone all day?
Either for reasons? For today? Yeah, today's a big day. But you don't want to miss something today. And that's the cool thing about these trade deadlines is that you don't want to miss a moment. You don't want to see later that you missed the Royals making a big move or whatever Houston's going to do right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever Seattle's going to continue to do, or the Mets going to be involved. Is Luis Robert going to move? Mm-hmm. Are the Royals going to get better today? Like, there's a lot of things out there that are very intriguing when it comes to this. And look, the Yankees haven't done anything yet from a trade deadline standpoint.
What, judged on the 10-day IL with the ulnar lateral collision? Ligament, they think, or whatever, rotator, or whatever, his arm hurting.
You got my arm; it's broken. And then the Mets really haven't done anything yet, and the Dodgers haven't done anything yet, and the Cubs really haven't done anything yet. So you've got the big boys out there that are kind of circling around right now. That you would have to think over the next couple of hours, at least the Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers are all making some sort of trade, like. They have to. The Yankees have to. Otherwise, they'll be destroyed. The fans will be ticked off. Everybody will be upset that the Yankees didn't do anything. The Mets are in that stage right now where they're willing to make moves. And then, of course, the Dodgers need help as well. So when you have those three big boys still out there willing to trade whatever it is to get better, I think there's still a lot of time left to go in that trade deadline. And a lot of things can still happen today.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what they do end up deciding from the Royals standpoint, from obviously contenders above you standpoint, who's going to really separate themselves when it comes to this deadline that ends in what, 7 hours, you said? Mm-hmm. 5 o'clock tonight, our time. It is one of the better days of the year for sports. It's like the NBA offseason, but the MLB is like postseason. Well, not postseason, but gearing up for that postseason. So,
yeah, nothing going on right now.
You guys excited to go outside today?
Mm-hmm.
Text line, let us know how it feels. 72 degrees currently. Heck on yes. July 31st.
Let's go.
That is the current temperature. And guess what? It even says it feels like 72.
Wow. So no humidity.
Last night I enjoyed the sounds of cicadas or whatever they are and that cool breeze. Yeah, it was nice to go out there and not choke on the humidity.
Yeah, it was last night. It was kind of like you could feel it start to come on a little bit. It's getting a little cooler, a little less humid, a little cooler, less humid. Like, we're getting into that point, man. Hopefully it stays forever. We never go back to those hundreds that we had 2 days ago.
And some quick breaking news before we get out of here. Joy Taylor teases career announcements. Quote, I might surprise people with what's next.
Barstool.
That's better than what some of the comments say.
Oh, no.
Well, hey, football's back.
That's right. Watch that football game tonight. Be a scumbag like myself and put a little coinage on it. But also go be a great person and go do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe. It's Cody, Gold, and JT once again from 10 until 2 here on 96.5 The Fan. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Shout out, Maloney.
Eggs and football, let's go.